الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة عماد الدين فمن أقامها أقام الدين فمن تركها فقد هدم الدين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman, Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us Muslims without any effort on our part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the month of Ramadan. One meaning of Ramadan is rainfall. That in this month, how rainfall removes dirt and filth and muck from the body, Ramadan is supposed to remove hatred, malice, evil, jealousy, internal and external qualities, and create harmony, unity, cooperation, brotherhood, ukhuwat, love, having welfare for each other. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that if a person experiences Ramzan and does not get himself forgiven, then woe unto him. In this month of Ramzan, Quran Kareem was revealed. Quran Kareem was revealed dafatan wahidatan, all at once, in the month of Ramzan. Above the Kaaba is a prototype called the Baytul Izza or the Baytul Ma'mur, where the Malaika make tawaf. Above that is the protected tablet, the Lohe Mahfuz. Above that is the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran Kareem in the month of Ramadan and in Laylatul Qadr was revealed all at once to the protected tablet, from there to the Baytul Izza, from there to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as circumstances required, over a period of 22 years, 2 months and 22 days. Laylatul Qadr, it has been stated, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seek it in the odd nights, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, meaning 21, 23, 25, 27, 29. It can be any one of those nights. Laylatul Qadr is in Ramzan. Most scholars say that. Quran Kareem, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should go to the cave of Hira, which is on the Jabal Nur. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the age of 30 onwards, 30, 35, began to go to the cave. And he should take barley, wheat, and few foodstuff and stay there for a duration. That cave is about 2 meters by 3 meters. And in that cave, if a person sits, then the rocks form a triangular formation when you look outside from that cave. And in that triangular, if a person sits in that cave, in that triangular, the Kaaba is there. So when a person sits in that cave, he can only see the Kaaba, and the Anwarat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on the Kaaba. And a person of spiritual insight and a person of spiritual feeling and a person of spiritual status, he can experience the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Kaaba. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should look at the Kaaba, contemplate how to solve the problems of the society, how to help this society out of kufr, shirk, idol worship, gambling, fornication and adultery, killing and looting, murdering. Then at the age of 40, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salam, came to him and told him to read Iqra. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Wa ma'ana bikari," that I am not one who recites, I am not one who can read. Jibreel alayhi salam embraced him, and this happened 3 times. Then Jibreel alayhi salam told him to read, and the first ayat of Surah Iqra was revealed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to perspire and began to sweat. So he descended that mountain quickly. And when he descended that mountain, to his astonishment, again Jibreel alayhi salam appeared to him. At this time Jibreel alayhi salam appeared to him in full glory. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when I looked, I saw Jibreel alayhi salam. And to describe what he saw, he says, "When I looked up in the skies, I saw Jibreel. When I looked down, I saw Jibreel. When I looked towards my side, I saw Jibreel. When I looked to my left, I saw Jibreel. All there spread with 600 wings, covering everything. And this is what I see." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to perspire more, and a little fear came into him. He came quickly to his house, and he came to his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he said, "Zambiluni, zambiluni," meaning cover me up with a blanket, cover me up with a blanket. Why? Because he has experienced a kind of a shock. She covered him up, and she asked him what has transpired. So he related everything. And he said that, "I fear my life." She said, "No, nothing will happen to you." Why? And she enumerated various reasons that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam helps the poor, he helps the wayfarer, he takes care of the needy, he is aiding the widow, and he is hospitable to his guest, and he is the person who listens to the difficulties of others. In most textbooks it is written that she took him to Warqa ibn Nawfal, her cousin, who was learned in the Christian scriptures. But Mawlana Idris Khandalvi Rahmatullah Alayhi writes in Sirat al-Nabi, and he provides the references there, that she waited for Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala to come. And then she told Abu Bakr that, "Oh Abu Bakr, take Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Warqa ibn Nawfal." She was not a woman to stir out. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala took Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Warqa ibn Nawfal, and what transpired thereafter we know. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala says, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa should get wahi, wahi meaning divine protected revelation, Quran Kareem, then he should perspire a lot. It is stated in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa when he should get wahi, then his chest should make a sound like a boiling pot. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa himself says that before I should get wahi, a sound of the ringing of bells, after the ringing of bells, then you get a resounding sound, that sound I should hear, then I should get the wahi. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's head, his Mubarak head was placed on my left, and he began to get wahi, and it was so weighty that I felt my bone is going to break. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should get wahi, and he should be seated on a camel, because of the weight of wahi, the camel should sit. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should get wahi and immediately call the sahaba and tell them, "I've got wahi," and he should narrate it, read it to them. They should write it, they should memorize it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at one stage when he should get wahi, he began to read it quickly. Why? He feared that he will forget it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him that, "Do not make hasty recitation. We are the protectors." Subsequently, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should read the Quran very slowly. The word is Quran-e-Kareem or Quran-e-Aziz or the Book of Wisdom, Al-Hikmah. These days, some translators translate it as Holy Quran, meaning holy is the adjective, Quran, whereas this word holy is not right. Why? Because the Arabic word for holy is Muqaddas. Nowhere in the Quran, nowhere in the Hadith, Quran is been described as Muqaddas. But Quran is described as Quran-e-Aziz, Quran-e-Kareem, the lofty Quran, the mighty Quran, the wise Quran, the noble Quran, but not holy Quran. Influenced by West, influenced by the Western media, and they say holy Bible, we have taken this word holy and put it this side, holy Quran. We do not require that. Because the West, they are not for us. The Western media, for example, is not for us. The Western people, their culture is not for us. See what they do to us. Like today's paper, some Muslim woman poses nakedly for magazines. They blow it out of proportion. To degrade us, to try to run us down. They are not for us. They are anti us. They understand Islam and they will know what hurts us. They are so-called trying to expose us. These are the issues that we have to worry about, respected elders. Like, look at our youth today in our own area. Are they coming for Taraweeh or not? I have been informed, and to our disgust, that there are now escort agencies open around, and our youth are visiting those areas. Those things we have to worry about. What is happening to our youth? And alhamdulillah, one solution is that the istima is coming. Us and ourselves and our youth should be engaged in how can we make the istima successful. Go amongst the righteous. Go to the istima in Lodia. The Arab preserved the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the preservation of the Quran. And the Arab had a retentive memory. During the time of Hajj, in the pre-Islamic Hajj, they should have a festival, a feast, where they should recite poetry, where they should recite parables and stories. Asatirul Awwaleen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it in the Quran Kareem, the narrations of the old, the parables of the old. And a person should come and narrate thousands of poems. So, fitratan, naturally, an Arab has good memory, good retentive qualities. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the Quran to the Arab, they understood it, is one, they memorized it also. And it is stated that Quran Kareem was preserved by memory, by recitation, by listening and learning. When the Jamaat went to Russia, the USSR, then they met Muslims, respected elders, and these Muslims narrated to them how they learned Quran. And they did not learn Quran, let alone to read it or memorize it like how we do it. That we have kitabs, we have the Quran published, and we read the Quran and we learn the Quran. No, respected elders, they learned the Quran like how the Sahabas learned the Quran, because they were not allowed, according to communist government, they were not allowed to have the Quran printed. They were not allowed to have the Quran in printed form in their houses. And if they had it, they were arrested. So they said the only way of preserving Quran amongst the Muslims was that they should sit, the Ustad should sit and the student in front, and he should read Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and the student must repeat it exactly how the teacher says it. And in this manner they produced Hufaz. And with the help of Allah, I met one Hafiz who was blind, from birth blind. It took him 7 years to memorize Quran. And in 7 years, by listening and reading and listening and reading, today he makes Taraweeh. So this method of preservation is a proof that Quran Kareem is a divine kitab and is a kitab protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then also, some Sahaba should write it down. We have got narration Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu should write Quran and should write hadith. It is stated that he destroyed his hadith, what he had written, because fear that he may have heard Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrongly and written it wrongly. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there is a Maulana, a professor in Paris at the moment, Professor Muhammad Hamidullah. He is compiling a book, all the hadiths of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Far before Bukhari and Muslim, the hadiths of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was one of the scribes. And the methodology of writing was prevalent during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The originalists say no, there was no such thing as writing during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then how could they have written the Quran? We say no, they were writing it. Abu Huraira was writing, Abu Bakr was writing, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was writing. We can prove that. In the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote the whole peace treaty. And when it was written, then the kuffar objected. They said, you must take out the word Muhammad, you must take out the word Rasulullah. It was written, the treaty between Muhammad, Rasulullah, and the Quraysh, and the Mushrikeen, and those people, the people of Mecca. So the people of Mecca said, no, take out the word Rasulullah. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, no, no, I cannot take out the word Rasulullah. I believe he is Rasul of Allah. I cannot take this out. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know of this, he said, that Ya Ali, show me where it is written. Show me where it is written, Rasulullah, so that I can take it out of my own hand. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala showed him that this is where it is written, and he took it out. Two things I want to prove there. That there was writing prevalent during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is Ummi, he did not know how to read and write. So respected elders, that by writing, it was written on leaves, on bones, and a whole copy was prepared. And Hazrat Hafsa, it was called the Mus'haf of Hafsa. Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala, one of the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, daughter of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, she had the complete Quran with her. During the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every year Jibreel alayhi salam should come to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and read the Quran to him, till the point it was revealed. And during the time, the last year, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and read the Quran twice to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should also read the Quran to him. And the sequence, how it is, and how we have got it, exactly like that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should read it, and it was read to him. And we have got narration that during the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should ask the Sahaba, oh Sahaba, read it to him, to me. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, Quran is revealed to you, you read it to us, we love you to read it to us. He said, no, I would like to see my Ummati read it to me. I would like to see my Ummati read it to me. And when the Sahaba should read the Quran to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should cry profusely. And the Quran al-Kareem has got a natural pulling force. During the time when Quran al-Kareem was revealed in Mecca, there were three people, Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, and Akhdar. They should go secretly in the night to listen to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Quran. Why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should read Quran to the Muslims? And because they were preaching Islam and propagating and practicing Islam in secrecy, they did it for 3 years. So these kuffar knew where they're doing it. And those days there was no lighting facilities. You did not know who is coming and who's going. And they should cover themselves. Everybody should cover themselves for the fear of the enemy. They should cover themselves in big shawls. And they should come and sit by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should read the Quran. Can you imagine? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should read Quran. And the people who are receiving it and hearing are the Arabs who understand the language. So when they went to listen to the Quran, and they came back at a crossroad in the evening, then they met each other. So one asked the other, where you went? Where did you go? Where did you go? So now I went to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went to Muhammad to listen how he's reading Quran. Oh, he said, if we get caught, what will the people say? That we are saying the people, don't go and listen to Muhammad reading Quran. Don't go and listen to Quran being recited. And we going? So take it. Swear that you won't go. Said, okay, we won't go. Promise you won't go. Promise we won't go. Next time they were back there. So after the Quran recitation, they were met again at the crossroad. Said, oh, you went again? Yes, where did you go? We went there to listen to Quran. So he said, oh, you promise again you won't go. Ibn Ishaq narrated this. Then they went again. So third night, after they went for the third night, then they said, we have to swear by the idol that we're not going again. Because if we are apprehended going there, and we are seen going there, then all those kuffar, all those people, our companions, are going to go against us. This is the kashish, the pool of the Quran Kareem. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came from an agricultural society. Basically, he was from the farming society. He came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to read Quran openly. I want to read Quran openly to the people. So they made mashwara. So the other sahaba said, though, that if you read Quran, they are going to hit you. Let someone of the noble class, so-called noble class, let them read it. There would not be so bad a repercussion. Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala, who was very small, he said, no, I want to read. And he went to read. And he read Quran Kareem openly. The first person to read Quran Kareem openly in the Haram, loudly, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It is stated that he started Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and when he started the ayah, they began to pounce on him and they hit him. When he came back to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said he had marks on his face. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he decided to leave Makkatul Mukarramah, Ibn Zubada took protection for him and brought him back into Makkatul Mukarramah. I cannot narrate in detail. Then he built a masjid, the first masjid to be built. He built a masjid in his backyard. And one of the conditions the Quraysh told him, that you must not read Quran aloud. Then we allow you to stay in Mecca. Not read Quran aloud. The Quran has got a message, but a dynamic message. We have not understood that. He began to read Quran aloud. And he should read Quran, it is stated, that he should read it in a melodious, sweet, and he should read it with a tone that is crying, and giving off his feeling. It is stated that the whole neighborhood, the children and the women, they should come and listen to him read Quran. They know what he's reading. And they said they should just listen to him and start accepting Islam. The Quraysh came and told him, listen, stop reading Quran aloud. Otherwise we are going to persecute you and we are going to harass you. And the protection of Ibn Zubada, what about that? He said, I'm not worried about Ibn Zubada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my protector. What you want to do, you can do. But I will read my Quran, I will read it aloud. Quran Kareem has got 6,666 ayats. It has got 30 chapters. It's got 114 surahs. And alhamdulillah, Quran Kareem, numerous commentaries have been recited. Numerous works have been done on it. About Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which I mentioned, that one person called Dr. Suleiman Dengo, he wrote a thesis and he proved that Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not accept Islam at the conquest of Mecca, but he accepted Islam far before that. Meaning that he accepted Islam during the period when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Mecca itself. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the 18 scribes. There were about 18 sahabas who should write down the Quran Kareem when the Quran Kareem came down. And two points I would like to mention, and then we can have some questions. One is that a scholar from Iraq wrote a kitab, he compiled a kitab, that he took the Quran Kareem and any word in the Quran, he has written that this word appears so many times in the Quran, and where it appears, he has got it written. You understand fully what I'm saying? For example, the word Allah. How many times it appears in the Quran? And where it appears, he listed it. So every word he has done that. Then there is one scholar who wrote a commentary on the Quran in Arabic. And he wrote a commentary and he used the Arabic language, he was master of the Arabic language. He used those alphabets that do not have dots. See, for example, the sa has got a dot, boy has got a dot. The Jeeb has got a dot. So he used the Arabic language, that he used only those alphabets that got no dots, and he made a commentary on the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected Quran Kareem. There is no change in Quran Kareem. Kuffars are the proof of Quran Kareem being a divine miracle. Quran Kareem, actually, the word comes qara'a, ikra, comes from there, the book that is recited. It has been proven that there are two things that are done maximum in the world. One is Quran recitation, and that does not stop. Given any hour of the day, there is someone reading Quran Kareem in some part of the world. And the tawaf. The tawaf does not stop, only for Faraz Namaz it stops. Another interpretation, someone said the word Quran comes from the word Qurun. In the Friday khutbah, in the second khutbah, you hear one hadith, Khayru Quruni Karni. The best of times is my time. So the Quran Kareem is the book of the time. The Quran Kareem is the book of every time. Another word they say is the Quran means, it means the book that is going to stay. It is a perpetual book. It is a perpetual miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if anybody got any questions, inshallah we'll try to answer them to the best of our abilities. You see, they may have presented a thing called, what we call in Arabic, Nasikh Mansukh. That's the Arabic terminology for abrogation. Abrogation means that a ayat, for example, in the Quran, I told you there are 6,666 ayat, and Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayhi, in a book on principles of tafsir, has written that there were 25 ayat abrogated, meaning that the law of those ayat are there in the Quran, but the law of those ayat, they are no more in existence. However, Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said, no, that those 25 ayat are not 25, because Allama Suyuti, he wrote that book during a time when there was persecution of the ulama by that Muslim ruler. So he had to write something like 25, but now it has been proven. The research done by Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayhi and other scholars, that no Quranic ayat is abrogated. Abrogating means that the ayat is there in the Quran, but the law was not enforced, the law was not executed. But now it has been proven that all the Quranic ayat, no Quranic ayat is abrogated. And what the lawyer Sahib is talking about is in the hadith, there are few ayat, for example of stoning, and of whipping, of lashing. Those ayat, they say that those ayat originally were in the Quran, but are not in the Quran. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is why I stated that Jibreel alayhi salam should come and read to him that this is the Quran. And this Quran, what was recited to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Jibreel, that is the same one that we have got. In fact, these Jewish people, they try to confuse the world with the abrogation theory, and also they try to print the Quran, they try to add or to ayat, etc. But as long as they are hufaz, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated clearly that I am the protector of the Quran, there will be no interpolation with the Quran. There is a tafsir, it's called Tafsir Osmani, and it's in English now, it has been translated, it's in three volumes. A Muslim should try to read it. It's authentic commentary, reliable. We recommend that. Although at certain places that you the questions can be of the Quran or outside the Quran. As far as mysticism and Quran Kareem, that means tasawwuf, Mufti Shafi Rahmatul Ali wrote one Quran commentary, it's called Marif al-Quran. It's 8 volumes. It's 8 volumes. And he's got one special section. He's got a commentary, then he's got, but the work is in Urdu. He's got a commentary, then he's got Masla poetry, spiritual section. So a person, if he has got a reliable Shaykh, or an alim, a good reliable alim, if you sit with him and you encourage him to make a research, then he can come up with those points and explain it. But a person who is interested in learning about mysticism of the Quran, then at the initial stage he should read Ihya'ul Ulum of Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh. That will give a fairly good idea, because in Ihya'ul Ulum, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh is basically discussing the Quran and the Sunnah, and he's discussing it solely from the point of mysticism, the secret, the wisdom, the philosophy. There is a English journal that comes out from Karachi. Its chief editor is Mullah Taqi Osmani, and the Marikul Quran comes out there in what we call Kistwar, in piecemeal. It is translated. You see, at the moment, let me be honest with you that the whole world, the kuffar world, they are afraid of us. But they are, provided we are good Muslims, they are afraid of us. But when we become unrighteous Muslims, then no one is afraid of us. Like, we have come to know, like the demolishing of the, making shaheed of the Babri Masjid in India. This is, in fact, a case study. And those people who are behind it, there are reports reaching us that the Zionists and the Israelis, these people are behind them. They are planning it for them. They are financing it for them. And they are monitoring it for them. And why we say it's a case study, that if they want to see the reaction of the Muslim world, they want to see the reaction internally, the eventual target is Masjid al-Aqsa. That if we can demolish this Masjid, eventually we will demolish that Masjid. If you look at Bosnia, look at Sri Lanka, look at Kashmir, look at Afghanistan, look at wherever Muslims are, now it will be Sudan next. Wherever Algeria, how they orchestrated and they removed the so-called, in their eyes, the Muslim fundamentalists out. They do not want us to have a foothold in Europe, that's why they cause the problem in Bosnia. They do not want Muslims to be in peace, India, Kashmir, Sri Lanka, Burma. They do not want us to have a foothold, so therefore now you have all these problems and throw the Hamas out into the open field. So internationally, they want us to be downtrodden. But the Muslims realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we gain proximity to Him, He will help us. And the power does not lie necessarily or only in the arms and ammunition. It lies in our character, in our personality, in our akhlaq, that how good Muslims we are. When we become practical, then these people will fear us. When we are not even practical so much, they fear us. And that is why they have orchestrated and they are practically ruling Hijaz. They are ruling the oil fields. They are ruling that monetary system. They control the media, that is the press, the television and the radio. They control the International Monetary Fund and they hold all the states of the world at ransom. And what they do, they term it as good work. Even if they have to kill billions. For them that is very good. So Muslims realize that internationally, nationally, and everywhere, Al-Kufru Billatul Wahid, that the Kufara nation, they are one nation. And they want to downtrod us. They want to make us subservient to them, subjugated to them. Their syllabus, their methodology, their ways, their civilization, their culture, to indoctrinate us, their ideology, to our minds. Without realizing it, we think like them, feel like them, our mentality is like them. Solution is simple. Go back to the Quran, go back to the Sunnah. Irrespective of what these people say. Another thing that perturbs me, that for example, a Muslim brother opens a restaurant in the Redburg area and serves alcohol. We should approach him and tell him that, what about the Akhirat? What about the Akhirat? What's going to happen to you in the Akhirat? And if we do not approach him and talk to him decently and tell him to stop it, then what is happening in England may happen here. That 80% of the Pakistani Muslim restaurants serve alcohol. Today it will be Redburg. Tomorrow it will come to Centre. Next day it will come to Fortburg, Bramfontein. Then it will come down here. Muslim restaurants serving alcohol. No, not as yet. We should do it humbly. Case presented, we should be that you are a Muslim brother. How are we going to face Allah Ta'ala? We are worried about you. Don't fold and sway him, because he is on the wall, and you sway him, he gets stuck on the wall. Let me be soft to the person, win him over, explain to him what's going to happen to him in the Akhirah. What I have stated about Shab-e Barat and what I have stated about Miraj night and the research that I produced, that if anybody else can produce documented, substantiated research, then we can talk. I stated, for example, stock taking is not in Shab-e Barat, stock taking is in Laylatul Qadr. That was all of the points. And I mentioned about the Shab-e Barat, about the Miraj date, can be variant. And that is our research. We have got our documentation. And whosoever wants to see it, can see it. We will bring any alim to see it. We can bring any molana to see it, please to see it. And it has been printed and distributed. The research actually has been done by Molana Fazlur Rahman, the Sheikh ul Hadith of Darul Ulum Azadwar. And the book has been printed. I read the book, I did my little research, and I presented. So a person who disagrees with that should bring forth, this is the age of research, this is the age of talking, negotiation, this is not the age of slandering or using the platform to belittle or to run down anybody. I was very clear when I presented it. I spoke here on Miraj night, I spoke here in Shab-e Miraj. Every time I have this with me, and anybody can tape also, and whatever I say goes onto the tape. And I did say that everybody knows where the Mufti stays, and everybody can come and see it. I do not want to go into the nitty-gritty how that happens, but I can explain how it happens. But I am simply saying you that this is it, and the ulama of Dioban, we can go to you, are saying that it is Laylatul Qadr is stock taking, not Shab-e Barat, which I did quote. For example, the Miraj night, I told you the date can be variant. That is a pure academic thing. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not ask you that Miraj, when it happened, Rabiul Awwal, Ramzan, when it happened. No, he's not going to ask you that. You'll be questioned about your aqaid and your amal, not about the day. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam's ark, how many deaths it had. Allah ta'ala would not ask you that. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, how big was that ark? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask that. Jee.
Islam, the laws of inheritance, in fact the Hufaz, when they come to those ayats, they get worried and they learn those ayats very well, because it all got to do with the fractions and figures, who must get what and how it's going to happen. And this, what has been stated, you must sign an Islamic will. Islamic wills are available. Sign it, go to the lawyer that you have good confidence, and present it there, so that when you pass away, your estate is rounded up in an Islamic manner. For example, the wife, she does not get like how the kuffar do it. She gets half when there is no children around, and as soon as she starts getting children, when there is children, then things go less. And these laws, in fact, there is a chart which I promised the brothers in Etikaf, I must bring it to them, where it, by just looking at the chart, you can make out that if so-and-so passes away, he leaves so-and-so, so many people, you can calculate that what will be the shareholders, and how it's supposed to be divided. First of all, I was a Muslim. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, teach miras, teach inheritance, for it is half of deen. And this, especially in our country, we must do it. Why? To protect the Islamic law of inheritance, to revive it, and in it there is barakat and there is khair. Because the kuffar, when they die, they just take a few million and they give it to the cats and the dogs. And they, when we say that the wife does not get so much, then they want to object to it. Whereas the wife gets, and also the Islam instructs that the wife must be cared for by her family members. So there are these fractions stipulated in the Quran Karim, which I do not want to go into details, and I do not know them off by heart myself. However, there are ulama in our area who are very capable in drawing up the shares when a person passes away. So when a person passes away, immediately the estate is frozen. So we should not utilize of that estate and go to, when you got an Islamic will, then you can divide it accordingly. And now the government also, with the help of a capable lawyer, he accepts the Islamic will, the execution of it. And we appeal and we request that every Muslim should get an Islamic will, sign it, have the witnesses, and you must know the implications of an Islamic will. What is signing the will? But you must know the implications. And may do Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me ability that next year maybe I write on this and draw up one small textbook for the Muslim general public, where you can have broad principles of the Islamic will and the Islamic estate and the inheritance system. Basically, that the Islamic will has got two parts, two-thirds and one-third. One-third of the estate, of his own estate, a person, he can say what he can do with it, what he can donate it here, do whatever it is. One-third. But two-thirds, that is stipulated by the Quran Kareem and by Sharia. So, in actual fact, the whole three, the whole whole estate, three-thirds, is stipulated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing you that one-third you can divide how you want to, one-third. And if you don't divide that one-third, then that one-third goes into a part of the whole estate. And it is divided according to the Quran and Hadith. But you can divide one-third how you want to. And two-thirds, the law of Sharia, the stipulated, specified, categorized law of Sharia takes over. Disinherited, or there is no disinherited. Remember that if you got, for example, just take an example, if you got a son and he does not listen to you, then you cannot write the out of my son. No, you cannot do that. There is no such thing as out of the son, or out of so and so who does not listen. What are the kids? They do it this way.
they do in these days, it is not Islamic, there is no barakat in that. When we do something contrary to Islam, there is no barakat, there is no goodness in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put goodness in such an action. Yeah. A person, no, then he is not even classified in the will. Because the will is for Muslims. The will is not for non-Muslims. So if a child, if Allah forbid, that if a son or daughter or someone, if your child has become a non-Muslim, then automatically he goes out. He goes out of the fold of Islam and he goes from Jannah to Jahannam and he goes from the will. But remember that the person must pay his debts out. All his debts, that will you see, all those debts, etc., have to be paid out first. Like in the typical question that you leave very big will, you big estate, and you also leave a very big debt also. So first all those things must be paid out. Then you start evaluating the lump sum for distribution. Like for example, people go for Hajj. I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have decided with my family to go for Hajj. Make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. And while I'm here, then let me also say two things. That if I have said anything, intentionally or unintentionally to you, and I've hurt your feelings in any way, then I sincerely ask you to forgive me. Because I did not mean it and I'm human. If I said something that has hurt you and I sincerely seek that you forgive me and pardon me and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. And as far as you are concerned, that I have got no complaints that I forgive anybody and everybody. Person goes for Hajj, for example, and he owes people 10,000, 20,000, then he goes and meets him and says that when he will do this, when he is embracing the person, he says, make me bow. Understand? So the person who's getting embraced will think, what about my 10,000? And the person who's saying, make me maaf, he's saying, you know what, today the 10,000 also, don't worry, it's going. So while I'm at it at Hajj, you see, the people follow those mollibs. So when you make it tawaf, then you have that one mu'allim there, he reads the dua, and the people also read the dua after him. So he is a person from the Arab lands, he's speaking Arabic. So what he does, he says, Allahumma inni, ya Allah, I. Then while he's making dua, then he sees his friend very far away, also an Arab. So he tells him in Arabic, you know, Laki tu Badal Isha, I'll meet you after Isha. So the people behind him, they say, Allahumma inni Laki tu Badal Isha. Ya Allah, I'll meet you after Isha. The Muslim does this and he's following too. He's scared. But make dua in your own language, make dua that you understand. That's why these days we make so big duas in Arabic. I don't know what we ask for. There is no improvement in life. Make dua. If you've got command over the Zulu language, make it in the Zulu language. So you know what you ask. You know what you're going towards. A person who's got gold, the value of nisab, right? So what he must do, and he now at the moment, if you take the gold and keep it away this side and say that he's not, this gold does not belong to him, then you can give him zakah, right? But in this case, he must sell that gold and he must pay zakah. Depends if that gold belongs to him, right? The jewelry belongs to him. Who was it given to? So it belongs to her.
So that
yes.
Now the husband, wife, a wife got jewelry, she must pay zakat. She must pay zakat. So she must take, if she cannot, she got no cash, she must sell that gold jewelry. And she must pay zakat. The husband, he is entitled, if he's got a very bad position financially, to receive zakat. What is at the moment? I don't remember. Anybody calculated? It's about 300 something. 296? Something like that. Let's check it up. The other question I've seen that on the our board, it was the Times. And Maulana Jibai had written the Sari Times. And someone scratched it out. And those times were right. Those times are right. Because Sari ends, Tahajjud ends, Fajr starts. So that was taken off a timetable prepared by Darul Uloom Zakaria. It's called the perpetual timetable, the plasticized timetable. And here in South Africa, we have got a tendency that 20 minutes before Sari ends, we stop eating. 20 minutes. Before Sari ends, we stop eating. Whereas, you can eat Sari till the last time, but be careful. You can eat Sari till the last time. Sari ends, Fajr starts. Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayhi writes in one kitab that Maulana Yahya Rahmatullah Alayhi, that his father, they went to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi. And Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi should stop eating about 1 hour at times before Sari ends. 1 hour before Sari ends, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali should stop eating. And Maulana Yahya Rahmatullah Ali, he should eat Sari till the last time. So when he went to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, so when they were discussing Sari times, so Maulana Yahya Rahmatullah Ali told Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that, Maulana, you can fast for 1.5 days. I'll fast for 1 day. I'll even write up this Sari time. If you want to fast for 1.5 days, you can fast. And our community, Alhamdulillah, someone puts a poster up, someone does something which is done, okay, then we should not scribble on it, we should not write on it. If you got a difference, then we are met. We go to the person, tell him, I do not agree with this. Well, what is your proof? Talk. You must learn to talk. Like some brothers feel that the Mufti tapes and this is copyright. And that's a rumor. Anybody can tape, anybody can have my tapes. Does a person know how much is going there? So you can do it both ways. That if you exactly know how much is this fund or is that fund, pension provident fund, if you exactly know that your pension fund is standing at this level, then you can give yearly. Right? Or, and that is a safe method of doing it. The other way that when you get that thing lump sum, then you'll have to now calculate for all your previous years also. Then you'll have to calculate as per that year, the figure was 10,000, then you went to 15, then you went to 20, then you would give here at 15, then you would subtract that, then you would start doing some accountancy. So you do it yearly, simple, straightforward. Yeah, because it is his. But
the, so that you subtract it, do some accountancy and subtract it. Alhamdulillah, a few nights are left too, and I'm very happy to note that our brothers are getting accustomed to this idea that in the night they come into the masjid. They come in, they're putting their bedding, and they are sleeping, they're reading Quran, and making dhikr, reading the Durood Sharif, making salat. But our masjid, why we build it? So that we must take full benefit of it. So Alhamdulillah, that there are nights left. And one of those nights could be Laylatul Qadr also. And we should not have this impression that it only can be 27. At least I said it can be 29 also. So we should come with our beddings, sit here, and Alhamdulillah, we notice that we're not talking here. The brothers are reading Quran, the brothers are busy making salat. So we should take advantage. Also come with make dua. Then Alhamdulillah, there is the istibak taking place in Lodium over the Easter. Then instead of going to the unrighteous places, the wrong places, we and the youth should motivate everyone, and we should go to the environment. Certain brothers feel that what is happening at the istibak? What are they doing at the istibak? What are the activities at the istibak? Now because the istibak is in Lodium, then we should not have this opinion that, oh, I'll go there and come back, I'll go there and come back. Go, stay, see. As a person going to the istima, you can go to any place in the istima. You can go to any tent in the istima. There is no such thing as cloak and dagger affairs going on. Everything is open. So you go and see. Go and assess for yourself. Do not let others tell you what is happening. So you go there, see, sit, and see whether I am benefiting. And your money, your time, your effort, for your benefit. Any more questions? Otherwise, we can make dua. There is a. So far this year, as I stated in the pamphlet, that the books that have been printed, we will distribute. So far, female leadership has come, Tarawih detail has come, and there is a dua which I have printed on a board. So, the brothers that do not have female leadership or Tarawih in detail or the dua, then when you're going out, my car is parked outside, you can gladly have it. But if you have got female leadership and Tarawih, then the request is do not take it, others can take it somewhere else. But the dua definitely has not been distributed before, and brothers can definitely have that dua.